And work. Thanks.
Connected to CMN Network.
And Houston Integrity, the active data is on PCD2.
We copy.
Houston Integrity on 1 for imagery for downlink folders.
Go ahead.
On PCD1, I have noticed I have 2 imagery for downlink folders, and I have been using both of them today. One is on the C drive, and one is in C user CDR desktop imagery for downlink. So when they're downlinking from PCD1, please have them check both folders, and then after, it looks like there was an alias placed on my desktop, and that has caused that confusion. So likely my fault. Don't recall, but if they could please check both the C drive imagery for downlink and then my login imagery for downlink on PCD1, I would appreciate it.
We copy.
We set integrity on 1 for the overboard dump.
Go ahead.
If you could secure the overhead dump, we would like to use on your toilet, and then we'll call you when we're complete.
We are putting that in work for you, and I have 2 other updates for you while I got you, if you're okay with a little bit more interruption to your pre-sleep.
Send it.
All right, so just with email, we're still syncing. We did hear your comment about the priority list. Unfortunately, it turns out that there was a miscommunication on that, so we're working it. We've got a couple of solutions in mind to reduce the volume of emails that you're getting, but we probably won't get there tonight. So the uplink you're getting now is not truncated, but we are pursuing a solution to truncate those in the future.
Okay, and what's your ETA on how much longer you want us hands-off email, or we're just not going to have access tonight?
We are aiming for 20 minutes on that. Thanks for bearing with. Sorry again.
Yeah, it's no big deal. Email around the moon was not something we expected to have anyway.
Well, you guys regaled us with so much moon joy today. We were really hoping to pay you back. But we'll let you know as soon as that sync is complete. The second thing we had for you is that we are going to start doing some playback from the ACU. So OE2 will be unavailable for about an hour while we are playing back some of your comm from earlier.
Okay. Copy that. OE1 only for us for the next couple hours.
And last but not least, the overboard vent valve is closed, so you are go to go.
All right, it worked.
Integrity Houston with a couple more cleanup items.
You're connected to CMN Network.
I wanted to let you know that our email sync is completed. You can all now use your email. We also wanted to give Reed a heads up that we are merging those imagery from our downlink folders into 1. So going forward, he should only see 1 on his CCD, not to be alarmed if you see 1 disappeared. And then last, I thought you guys would be happy to know we have implemented your feedback for tomorrow. So we are ensuring that everyone will have exercise, and we are also going to move the Rad Shelter demo to Flight Day 8, where it is going to be condensed to focus on the highest priority objectives.
Awesome. That's great news on all accounts. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Jess, and you have a good night, too.
Houston, integrity for AGA.
Go ahead for AGA, Christina.
Hey, Tess, we've got CO2 2.8, O2 27.0, 76.3 degrees, and 10.5 PSIA.
We copy all. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
Have a wonderful night, and just for your awareness, we are still standing by for your go to resume the wastewater dump when you guys are ready.
Yes, absolutely. The goodnight was probably a little early. Usually when we say goodnight to Houston, we call about five more times. That's our pattern.
I just feel like I am contributing to that trend. So, all right, we'll stand by for the next good night.
Okay, good night, Tess. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night, Reed.
Houston Integrity for 7.
Go ahead.
Yes, Tess, we needed a new spot for a trash bag, so we came up with a plan, and if it's all right with you, I will let you know what we did to update the stowage.
We are happy to receive.
Okay, we managed to fill bag 2 of locker D with 3 trash bags and some other dry trash packaging stuff. That was the last location y'all gave us. We then emptied bag 8 of D by deploying all of the nitrile gloves in there. I'm seeing 3 packs of 30 and 1 pack of compaction plates into the toilet.
That is perfect. That is the next action we would have given you. So, bravo.
All right, mind meld. Thank you, and good night.
Good night. Talk to you in a minute.
Exactly.
Integrity Houston. With a potential last good night before we go into a very long forward link LOS.
Connected to CMN Network.
Go ahead.
Hey, sorry to bug you again, but the team here is looking to resume venting before we go into this long LOS. We did want to make sure that you guys know the team here has decided that there is no constraint to fecal use of toilet during vent ops. So we would like to resume the vent if you're okay with that, knowing that you can continue to use toilet for fecal purposes while we do so.
Resume the vent.
And there was much rejoicing. Hey, we also got a sneak peek at y'all's imagery. It's absolutely stunning. We are all completely in awe of the work that you did today. Thank you so much for bringing us on this journey with you. We hope you have sweet dreams of Moonjoy.
Thank you so much, Seth. When you think about 10,000 pictures in a day, trying to download 10 for PAO is tough. So that's just a sampling. There's many more that look like them, and there's probably quite a few that look better than that, but that was the best we could do right there. So glad that they're appreciated. We certainly appreciate it being up here in our observation post. Hey, one thing while I got you for tomorrow morning, I know we're trying to make it a light crew day, but if you could still give us our wake up on time at the beginning of post-sleep, we would appreciate it so we can get our science going and get our morning about us.
We will make that happen for you. Have a wonderful night.
All right. Good night. Till I call you in 5 minutes. See ya.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KGKGF mobile monitoring.
Standing by. Bravo 8, Romeo Whiskey India, standing by.
Connected to CMN Network.
Bravo 8, Romeo Whiskey India, standing by.
You're connected to CMN Network.
K-E-A-Y-N-U, K-E-A-Y-N-U, N-A-W-R-O. N-A-W-R-O, clear.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
You're not on a CB, this is an amateur radio. WAYRC.
And that was the NASA wake-up call that they just sent up to Artemis. So that came from NASA, so it's legal. WACMN.
Oh, that's funny. Did not know that. I'm thinking, holy cow, what's going on here? Okay, thanks for the info. WAYRC.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
We'd love that.
Connected to CMN Network.
And good morning.
Good morning to you. And Integrity, we are on board with the D5.
Good morning, Houston. We are 202,306 nautical miles away. Earth is pulling us back, and we are happy about that. We're ready for morning DPC.
We're happy about that, too, and ready for DPC. We've got about a dozen quick items for you, the first of which is updated nominal burn plan and nominal RTC last are on board. Next, for Victor, a reminder for your exercise, per the execute note at
okay,
MEP.
We'll be working on the DUs, Christina, check in right now.
We're stepping on each other. Victor at MEP, 22 hours, 20 minutes. Please stop your exercise in advance of the OPNAV attitude maneuver. Over.
Okay, Stan, if you could just give us a call and remind us, that would be great.
We will do it. Next, for Christina, for your exercise, we expect to be in a four-link LOS at that time, so you will have the opportunity to park the arrays for exercise yourself. We have three items for the toilet. Last night, 14 hours of waste tank dumping has freed up 11% of room in the tank. So we would really like to treat tank volume as a consumable for entry today. We'll keep that vent going, but we're asking you not to use the toilet for urine until then. And we understand that you're down to support that with CCU use, but wanted to be certain. Over.
We'd be happy to talk more about the Hail Mary option, but if this is the final answer, we can support this on board.
Okay. Roger. Thank you. For Fecal Can R&R, we know of one full container. Are there others? Over.
That's a negative for now.
Roger that. Last item for the toilet, no Oxone R&R for today's toilet maintenance. Over.
Okay, I do love the smell of Oxone in the morning, but it sounds good. No R&R today.
Roger that. Next, PCD1 is not showing a micro SD card inserted. If there is a card there, would you please reseat it?
Yep, Stan, we will work on that.
Next, DU2 had today's flight plan pulled up when we updated that plan, so we'd like you to close and reopen the flight plan on DU2. And we see your thumbs up.
Okay, Christina's knocking that out right now.
Sweet. Jeremy, for docking cam install, can you please tell us about how long this takes?
I'd say probably 20 minutes, and it's much faster once you know what you're doing, but the big thing is we store it down here in S3 in the clamshell, and it's not as bad to unstow it. It's a little bit harder to stow it. The cables are a bit unwieldy, but other than that, once you know what you're doing, it's pretty quick.
Stand by. And can you give us an estimate of how long it takes from once the camera is out of the locker to installation complete?
For a first-time install, 20 minutes. For every other, if you're doing it by yourself, 5 minutes.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Jeremy, one more item for you. After this meeting, when you turn on the acoustic monitor, can you please give us a call? We're timing things here on the ground.
We will give you a call.
Thank you. Our last item. Science got your audio files from the first 5 hours of the flyby. We did not find any from the eclipse time frame. Are there any? And if so, where may we find them?
There's definitely going to be some on PCD 2. I would look through all the PCDs. Jeremy was the primary commentator there. But we can also look and get back to you.
Roger, we'll check PCD 2 first and the others, but if you can give us a clue later, that would be helpful. And that's it from MCC Houston. What you got for us?
Okay, sounds good. And we will just do a quick check on board as well. We have, from your notes in the mission summary, the BOBs. We are working our way through BOBs, but we are nowhere near completing all the food on board. For instance, I went through an inventory of my food today, and I expect to have 1.5 BOBs remaining at the end of the flight, and all my BOBs are in bag 16, but we will go and do a pretty good inventory. Overall, I'd say we're probably 40% through the total food allotment right now.
Copy, 40%.
I think the big thing we need for the food is when we start realizing we have uneaten food that we are not going to eat for the remainder of the mission, just tell us where you want us to stow that.
We will do that.
Okay, we have two more topics. First is just a quick one for Huntsville, but don't leave us, Houston. For Avatar, lights 15 and 16 are out. All others are on. And I'm going to hand the microphone to my esteemed colleague and fellow naval aviator.
Pod copies Avatar.
Actually, Sam, we want to knock out some questions from the mission summary.
And we're ready for questions from the mission summary.
Yes, for the volume in the contingency urine storage bag, I would estimate 300 to 500 mils. And I will continue to use it. And if you'd like me to report, I can.
Copy volume, and thanks for bearing with us.
For email sync, you can keep as scheduled. Sorry, we talked over each other, Sam. Could you please repeat?
Yeah, Christina, we copy volume in the contingency storage bag, and thank you for bearing with us. Also copy that we can keep the mail sync where it is.
And thank you for your answers. I think we are questions complete.
And nothing further here in the control room, so we'll call DPC complete. Have an excellent day.
Actually, Stan, we have one more small and quick thing. We just wanted to take this moment to recognize the two newest members of the Association of Space Explorers, NASA astronaut Christina Cook and Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen. Reed and I are both members, and we're proud to welcome the two of them to this international body of human space explorers, and also congratulations to Jack Hathaway, who recently joined aboard the International Space Station. Thank you.
Thank you for those words, and welcome to the club.
And Houston, a question on acoustic monitor.
We're listening.
And given that we have the USB charger on board now, I was just going to plug it in instead of using batteries throughout the day. And I was also going to install it at the bottom of the docking tunnel, right behind the Nat Geo microphone, That's pretty central. So instead of putting it on the DUs, it'll be at the bottom of the docking tunnel, opposite the windows.
Copy, checking. And Jeremy, we are good with plugging the acoustic monitor into the USB charger, and we're good with your install location.
Okay, perfect, thanks. And then at nighttime, if we're doing docking camera tonight, which I suspect we are, then I'll transition it to PCD power.
Checking. And Jeremy, we like your plan.
In Houston, the acoustic monitor is set up and it is recording. And I will take a photo of that for you. I think I'll just take the photo on the iPhone and put it on PCD3 for you, if that's okay, because we're using the D5 right now for the PAO event.
Copy all, Jeremy. We like it.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And Integrity Houston, just a reminder for the upcoming ship-to-ship call, it's going to be the OE1 microphone, not the handheld. And Integrity Houston, for a downlink, on the 4K encoder, we only need the video, not the audio.
Thanks for that. We have restarted the stream with audio off, and hopefully you're getting a good image.
We copy the audio, and we see a great image. Integrity, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Integrity is ready for the event.
Station, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call Integrity for a voice check.
Integrity, this is the International Space Station. How do you hear?
Hey, International Space Station and Jessica, we have you loud and clear. How about us?
We have you loud and clear as well, and we have BME TV up, so we have a view of you right now, and it is making us so excited. We feel like you're here with us, and this is really just making our entire week right now. We've been following along and have seen the incredible photos and heard some of your observations that you've been reporting.
We have been waiting for this like you can't imagine. Let me go check on our PSD. We are 201,726, now 25 nautical miles from planet Earth, which is just hard to believe. The scales are impossible to believe. And for the run of show this morning, I figured I'll say a quick hi, which I've done. I'll hand the microphone to fellow chump Jeremy. He can say a quick hi. And then we'll let you three A-Paws just get on with it. Yeah,
it's going to
be like a tiny bit of microphone time before the 8-Balls get after it. But it's such a pleasure to spend a little bit of time with our colleagues in space, and we talk so much up here, where we try to anyway emphasize how important the work is that we're all doing in this program to do the types of things that get us ready to get back on the surface of the moon, and like the administrator was saying yesterday, on to Mars. And so we just appreciate you, and it's fun to be up in space with you at the same time.
We are so excited to be up here with you, and we had a couple questions. We are wondering, you know, we know how fortunate all of us are as humans to come up here and look down at the Earth from above. Every astronaut that comes to space remarks on that, and we really wanted to hear what that felt like, how different that felt now from your new perspective around the moon.
Well, I'll start by saying saying, we do miss the ISS. The views there are awesome, being able to see specific places, being able to see your home specifically. So y'all's views are absolutely incredible, and I miss them every day almost. The thing that changed for me looking back at Earth was that I found myself noticing not only the beauty of the Earth, but how much blackness there was around it, and how it just made it even more special. It truly emphasized how alike we are, how the same thing keeps every single person on planet Earth alive. We evolved on the same planet. We have some shared things about how we love and live that are just universal. And the specialness and preciousness of that really is emphasized when you notice how much else there is around it.
Really, really amazing to hear. You know, it's been an incredible time getting to be here on station. I know you guys have had a lot of that same experience, and I just we were super curious. You know, like what you're carrying forward from your kind of training for and flying on ISS to the moon.
Well, the Navy pilots were carrying on, so I'm the only one that heard the question. I'll go ahead and respond. Actually, Chris, it was awesome to watch you and Jessica go out on a spacewalk. I was lucky enough to sit console for your suit up, and I was just filled with pride, but it also really reinstilled in me those flight operations principles that we live by in a real-time, high-dynamic and risky environment. So having that kind of impressed in my mind right before this flight was huge. And basically every single thing that we learned on ISS is up here. And then of course there's the funny and practical, how to eat, how to do silly things with water, how to flip around, and we're bringing that with us too.
And I just got to add, T-Dub, right before you launched, you said you can't wait to talk to us on the space to ground, and it is happening, brother. I cannot believe it.
Face to face, we said.
I can't believe it. I mean, I remember having coffee and sitting with you guys just before I walked to fly up here, and it's just so awesome being able to talk to you right now. It's such a special opportunity.
And we had another question, because now you're in a little capsule that is your home, and although this is a test flight and so everything is new, what surprised you in your journey so far? I know that we really liked it up there.
It's really great to hear your voice up here. I can't tell you how fun this event is for us. I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as we are. I don't mean to give you such a short answer, but I can truly say everything. From the four-stage ignition, solid lighting, to getting into a new orbit, even right after 8 minutes of boosting on the four-stage, to then the translunar injection, to flying by the moon. This entire journey has been interesting, but also applying some of the lessons from station in a much smaller volume, how we move around and eat. Those things have also been surprising because the difference between ISS and here is we don't have another module to deconflict. And so everything we do essentially starts with a spatial conflict, and we have to take the time to work it out in every activity. And so we've been just having fun working through that.
Thank you so much, Victor. That was such a good answer. We laughed all here hearing your answer. Thank you so much.
Right, my turn, and I'm excited to talk to you guys. It's been awesome up here. Being rookie has been such an awesome experience having a great crew. I know you guys have a tight bonded crew as well. Jessica dared me to grow a mustache all during training, and I came through on that. So I'm kind of curious what kind of fun you guys had in your training and on your flight here that's been keeping you guys smiling.
I just had a process escape on my water training up here, and I left the PWD valve open a little bit too long. Now, I will say, I'm not the only one to have done this, but I do have the record so far for the large just process escape on the water training failures.
We can tell that you guys are definitely experiencing moon joy, and I feel like even we are experiencing moon joy right now. I think this also sounds like a great brand name, so we can't wait for you to drop your first album.
I got a question for you, but the quick story I wanted to tell you is you were asking, like, what it's like here at the International Space Station, and I'm just going to relate a very quick, funny story. Heading into our translunar injection burn, we're coming out of 38,000 miles, coming down to a 100-mile perigee to do that burn, and when we were about 5 or 6,000 miles up from the Earth, looking at the entire Earth just growing rapidly in the window, Jeremy turns around to us and goes, I'm not sure, I think we're going to run right into it. And we were all dying laughing. And it was the most fascinating thing to watch that Earth grow. And we actually ended up TLIing on the upper half of the Earth, and we thought we were going to TLI on the bottom half of the Earth. Like, that is the perspective we had. And then the vehicle reoriented, and we went. So it is crazy up here, and it does bend your mind. So question for you guys. I'm looking around the Integrity spacecraft right now. We're rehydrating some sweet and sour chicken. We've got some Kona whipped cream. We've got some butternut squash and spicy green beans. So it's all the same food. We want to know, what are you eating, and we're going to mirror you today.
So I had spicy green beans for lunch, and I've been loving seeing all of the things about you guys having the same food. It's fantastic.
I had a mango salad this morning. I think you have this on board, too. Oh, man, I know you love that mango salad, just like I do.
Yep, there's a mango salad on the deck right now.
Well, I hope I'm not talking over somebody, but I wanted to say a couple things to my astro sister, Jessica. One, sorry to steal your next spacewalk day, everybody, but thank you for cheering us along anyway. And Jessica, I always hoped we would be in space again together, but I never thought it would be like this. It's amazing. Congratulations to you on being commander, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your trip out in space.
Thank you so much, Christina. I totally share all the same sentiments, and I'm so happy that we are back in space together, even if we are, you know, a few miles apart. We like to joke about that up here, too, because everyone's talking about the records of the distance, and we ran to the far end of the space station when you guys were on the other side so that we could claim we were the furthest away from you in that moment. Love all four of you so much.
We were doing the same shenanigans here when we got to the furthest point from the moon. I tried to get to the furthest, the furthest point from Earth. I tried to get to the furthest point in the spacecraft, and my crewmates were clawing me down. And I know that's a joke. We were busy doing science, but we had that same conversation. It was a lot of fun. I don't know how much longer we have here, but from the four members of the spacecraft Integrity, we really want to just say our deepest appreciation to the seven members of the International Space Station, and this has been a true treat. It takes the entire world to do amazing things like this, and to get to come together as this group of people and talk for just a minute at these distances. We are all off the planet Earth right now, and we're all going to go home to that planet, and that is a very special thing. So thank you all for tying in.
Thank you, Reed, for beautiful words, from here.
And Integrity Houston, ISS is doing a teacher's handover. They'll be back with you shortly.
We are loving all four of you from here, from the space station in low Earth orbit. We'll keep the fires burning here.
And we'll keep carrying the fire. Thanks, guys. Over and out.
Thank you, guys. International Space Station, over and out. Made our day to talk to you. Thank you to all participants. Integrity and Station, we're now resuming operational audio communications.
My goodness. to Houston. That was amazing for all four of us. All smiles up here. Just thank you so much for enabling that. That was very, very special for this crew.
Lee, we were happy to do it. You should have seen all the smiles in the control room, and we had a packed visitors gallery, and everybody was grinning up there, too.
And Stan, that just made us all cheer up here as well. That is just such a cool thing for the agency, the nation, and the world. What a neat moment.
And here we are experiencing it.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity, where did you want to do that flyby conference? On OE1 or OE2?
Jeremy, around Earth 1, please. And Kelsey, standing by.
Okay, Kelsey, fire away.
Integrity Science, I have to start with a giant wow. Our whole lunar science team and the broader science community has been pouring out positive feedback and gratitude, so know that what you did yesterday really made a difference scientifically. Also want to say the science team has confirmed the locations of the proposed Integrity and Carroll craters, and it was such a powerful moment here for everybody listening and following along. And then also, just before I dive into the list of questions, we heard both Christina and Victor yesterday commenting that being able to discuss with each other amongst your crew, taking things from observation to inference to hypotheses, really added scientific value, and so we'd love to build on that here. So we'll ask specific questions for you guys, but please treat it like a discussion, as we heard you yesterday, that enhanced value. When you're ready, I'll dive into our questions.
Okay, Kelsey, love all those words. Your plan sounds good. The one thing I wanted to ask you about today during this was I did not record at all where we saw the impact flashes yesterday, so I was thinking maybe I should do that. And it's very, very, very rough, so I don't know if that's of any value or not, but if Reed and I can record a rough position in OneNote, do you want to get them off the PCDs, or you just get them when we land? What do you want to do with that?
Can you read in my mind? This was exactly the first question on our list. So I'll actually just jump right in, and I think I'll answer your question. So number one question was, Reed and Jeremy each reported 3 impact flashes. There were audible yells of excitement in the SIR. And we do not feel we have clarity on when the first 4 of those impact flashes occurred. And so we had follow-ups on, were the flashes brief or were they prolonged, and did you notice any color? And to directly answer Jeremy's question, yes, please, please do make an annotation on where you think you saw those, because right now the citizen science community is analyzing the data and trying to narrow down where you would have seen those.
Okay, Kelsey, I was just comparing notes with Reed here. We both experienced the same thing. It's a pinprick of light. I would suspect there were a lot more of them. However, you're going to really be staring at the middle of the dark and not looking at the edges of the sun glow around the moon. And it is just a momentary flash, no color, of the size of a star, and it really only lasts milliseconds, or half a second at most.
That's great feedback, Jeremy. Did want to also talk relatedly about any kind of galactic ray flashes you may have experienced. So have any of you guys experienced flashes in your eyes during the mission related to galactic rays, either like while working or sleeping, just to try to speak to the difference between those and what you saw yesterday?
Yeah, 100% difference in those and what we saw yesterday. We see, I definitely see a dozen or two every night when I'm going to sleep. I can talk about those if you want, the galactic flashes, galactic cosmic ray flashes. But the impacts on at least these, what we suspect were impact flashes were absolutely different, 100% different. And Jeremy said like half a second. I would say they were a millisecond. Like the fastest a camera shutter can open and close, that is what I saw. And I would say they were just white to bluish white. And the size of, Jeremy said the size of a star. I really like that analogy from space. It was just a brick of light. And maybe it was a priming bias, but to me, there was no doubt we were seeing it. And we were all seeing it. So it was, and we were correlating.
Great stuff, Reed. Yeah, don't need the description of the galactic gray flashes. So I guess last question for you guys on that. We definitely want that annotation. Please let us know when you have that, and we'll try to downlink it in flight. But when during the period did you see them? Because I think we heard from you like 20 minutes in that you had already seen a couple. So any timing granularity you can provide would help us find evidence from those, from the ground and from LRO.
Well, I mean, I think it was just whenever we were intentionally looking for impact flashes. We were looking pretty hard. The eclipse occurred, and then we had about 5 minutes of human emotional reaction to staring at that orb floating in the vastness of space. And then right after that, we were like, oh, somebody in the cabin said, let's look for impact flashes, or I see an impact flash. And then we started looking at it, and as we were looking, we all just saw, you know, one or two or three. Mine were, Jeremy's annotating right now, and then I will annotate on his as well. I never saw any that would have been in the Earth glow side, so I do not suspect any that I saw would be able to be correlated from a Earth-based science team.
Great feedback. So it sounds like when you guys reported multiple impact flashes, it could have been that you guys all saw the same ones occurring. Any guidance on how many total you saw?
Yeah. We didn't necessarily announce everyone out in the cabin, though. Reed and I saw two identical ones. He saw one before mine. And then I know I saw another one after that. So we'll try and give you the annotation and what order they came in. But just remember, this is just very rough.
That's great. Moving on, a question for Christina and any others that observed something similar. Christina suggested there may have been possible wafted dust just prior to Earthrise. Can you describe what you saw just before the Earth popped out from behind the moon? And any other crew, did you witness anything similar to what Christina is about to describe?
Hey, Kelsey. So this was during, Earthrise. I was still on Eclipse for some reason. Yes, okay. My crewmates were a little, they didn't see it the same as I did. What I saw was when it got close, so as you know, a crescent rose, so it was kind of like two fangs came up, one fang and then later another fang, and then eventually the center of the smile, the crescent. And right before the center of the crescent came up to, right before the crescent was there was when I thought I saw something.
That's a very evocative description, Christina. Thanks. You noticed it was gray. You kind of highlighted a gray color. Did it, you know, what was the thickness of it above the surface of the moon, and anything else you can describe about what made you think it was lofted dust?
Yeah, and to be clear, this is Earthrise, right?
Confirm Earthrise, because it's that glow from Earth that would allow that lofted dust to become highlighted against space.
Yeah, I was just making sure it wasn't right after Earth set, if that might also be a sign. Because the picture I'm building in my mind, I just want to make sure I'm not, like, creating false memories. Basically, and I think this is why not everyone saw it as lofted dust, it was not tall. It was a like it wasn't like the corona where it came up high or anything like that. It was just a slightly different gray color right before it rose. And it was like small enough to be within the fangs of the crescent. It didn't go farther than the inner part of the crescent. And it could have been an optical thing and not lofted dust, but to me, it just sort of appeared, and I felt like it had a glow. I know that those different terms mean things, but I think in this case, that would be the appropriate thing there, that it was potentially, in my mind, the sunlight reflecting off of the earth and creating a little glow right before the brightest part of the crescent came over the horizon.
Exactly what we were looking for. Thank you, Christina. Similarly on dust, we heard that Reed chose for his second crew choice target to look for suspended dust. So Reed, did you see any glow or hint of that dust earlier that made you come back to that observation?
Just really wanted to see something, and I saw none.
Understood. Okay, for Christina and Victor, during Earth set, we heard you say that the Earth was so bright it made the moon look dark. So you all had the Earth in view during the majority of your flyby. Did you notice any time when the brightness of Earth began to change your view of the moon's brightness? And can you describe how your perception of the moon's color changed as the Earth came closer to the moon?
Yeah, absolutely. And essentially, as soon as the Earth became in the view, the easy view, where I didn't have to turn my head, when it was in what I'll call my field of view, not my field of regard, when I could just see it looking straight, the moon was already at a point where I was losing out subtle albedo differences. I think it's the angle of incidence. The angle of the sun to the moon didn't change much, but we moved to the side, so we were seeing a different angle, and the color was less apparent. Oriental had also rotated really close to the limb, so a lot of the features that I was looking at were moving away, but I think the change in lighting was due to the angle of incidence, but then when the Earth became apparent, its brightness, it was so bright. It was so bright it looked out of place. The moon and the black of space kind of seemed to go together, but then the, more in the dull sense, but then the vividness and brightness, like, the difference between an LED display and a painting, right? You can just do things with light that you can't do with paint colors. The Earth looked out of place, and it just continued to dim the albedo and color that was earlier apparent in the moon. I'm passing to Christina.
You saw me nodding vigorously back here. That wasn't just my fantastic listening skills. I was nodding to make sure. Oh, we're not on video. The whole time I've been sitting on the show. I was nodding. Now you know, because I agree with everything you said. I'll add a couple thoughts that popped into my mind, which was I think I made the comment that the moon turned into a sponge of light. In my mind, before the Earth came into view, the moon actually was reflecting light, and it was lit up. As soon as the Earth got close enough to be in my field of view to take them both in at the same time, exactly what Victor said, it dulled, it turned into a sponge. It's almost like it went matte, like a matte finish. And for me, so that's brightness and albedo. It also, I would say for me, got like a browner top, taupe color, like almost an olivey brown, kind of like the boys' pants, not like my pants, but like these pants. And whereas before, I would have said it was more like electric gray in its grayer areas. So for me, it turned more brown, but a very matte brown. I'm going to stop there. There's one more comment I'll make about when it was very close, just in case it's interesting.
Absolutely, we take that
observation. The only other thing I wanted to add to that is not scientific on lunar observations, but I think that I know myself in particular, but probably we all underestimated the amount of impact of sun. heat shield tiles coming across the cabin. That was a pretty large impact, Kelsey.
That stuck up to us here on the ground as well, Reed, and we were hearing the struggles that all those different expected illumination sources provide, but unexpected in the impact that they had. Speaking of things that had an impact on observations, Victor, we heard during your sit rep when you were in the docking window that having that orange Kapton tape in your field of view affected your color observations. That was fascinating and has a lot of impact for future Artemis missions and hardware and impacts on color. So any other comment you want to make on how your ability to perceive color on the surface was influenced or limited by other objects of color in your view? We're interested here in color rather than brightness.
Absolutely, but all the comments I made about the Earth earlier apply to this one as well. This is the thing I wanted to make sure to add, so I'm glad you asked, is that the human eye adjusting is another thing that had huge impact. Some of the colors and their patterns did not appear in the moon. The Aristarchus Plateau, you know, the browns, the streaks that we saw there, until you stared, kind of like the impact flash, you really have to be staring. And it wasn't because of intention, it was because my eyes were adjusting. And so as soon as I would look inside the cabin, the vehicle, if those bright LEDs that were in the vehicle, or if the sun was reflecting off of a corner of the windowsill, or the bright Earth in the field of view, those things would change my eye, and I'd have to wait for them to adjust again. I want to add, while Victor's talking about that, on the Kapton tape color, let me see if I can nod to my crewmates, but when we're looking at Earth, just a normal Earth lit up by the sun, I'm seeing these deep blue pictures of, like, Earth Day photos, Apollo 8 photos, but when we look out, the cloud cover is so bright, it is almost blindingly bright, and you really cannot make out significant detail in the Earth when we're at long distance on a sunlit Earth. So it was very interesting to me that the Earth is so bright from the clouds that it is actually hard to look at.
Hey, since we're going discussion style, like you mentioned, I'll add a couple comments on color. I didn't notice color changing my view, except maybe, like Victor said, it was I didn't realize it when I looked down at the PCB and back, because I do think there was a time scale there where you saw things a little differently if you just stared for a long time, and sometimes even staring out to the blackness to kind of reset and come back. So I think that is a note. We were very much reliant on PCBs for instruction, but that did cause our eyes to constantly refresh on those colors. I didn't notice necessarily a color difference, but just like a quality of observation, maybe like he was saying, like the details or the contrast. So it might have even been a night vision thing. Yeah, that's all saying that. I did want to mention that when we were getting the really, really high amount of light into the windows, even the shrouded windows from the sun, the reflection on things behind the observer that are in the cabin was really strong on the window. So there's some high albedo things behind our heads, like there's a white bar, the abort sticker on the RHC, some other metal things, like we have some white bungees. I was trying to observe the dark side of the moon during the...
Thank you, Christina. And as I think I saw you notice, we did just get video a couple minutes ago, so it's nice to see you as we're talking to you. Next question is for all of you. Ohm crater was observed by all four of you, and we're interested in whether your different viewing angles resulted in how you observed Ohm. Jeremy and Reed saw it first. Were you able to see the ejector rays, the central peak? And then Christina and Victor, you were next, and you observed Ohm later in the past. Could you resolve similar or different features than what you're about to hear from Jeremy and Reed?
Connected to CMN Network.
Ejecta blanket for Ohm. I mean, it definitely changed as we went around the moon, but it did not change that much. It was always there. It was always fairly apparent. What is more apparent than the ejecta is the, like, the brownish-gray, darker area that makes the, like, 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock cut of the pie shape. Like, that was always very apparent, and the ejecta rays just made that contrast much more apparent. But overall, OHM did not change drastically as we went around the moon, unlike Oriental, which drastically changed as we went around the moon. And I'll keep going there. And I'm kind of going to have to read this question, but it was later on in the orbit that I noticed the ray of OHM, like the primary ray of OHM, comes out of roughly the 3 o'clock position, was on the MARE. And I'm not sure if I was picking that up initially in our first observations, but definitely in the latter. Did you notice that at all? Oh, the near side MARE, yeah. Yeah, Reed says he was noticing that the whole time. That might have been more noticeable to me later on, but that would be the only delta.
Understood, Reed and Jeremy. Curious to hear Victor and Christina's thoughts after
and,
hearing that.
For the later observation, I was able to see into the crater wall on the east side, and the shadowing there was actually neat, so I could see layers of shadow. So that there's kind of like two faces, or maybe three. I couldn't tell because we were so far away, but I could clearly see light, then dark, then light. And so the layering within the interior crater wall on the eastern side, I was able to see the central area, and I actually thought I saw three distinct groupings of something. And I think that's in the recording, but I was so far away, and my eyes were quite tired from adjusting. I was wearing glasses, looking in at the PCD and then looking out of the window out above the glasses, and so my eyes were really getting a workout, and they've definitely been changing. That's the other thing about the eyes, too. My eyes shifted on this. I'm about to turn 50, and that just was very different than 5 years ago. But I did see interior structure, and I commented on the colors, but again, from the angle we were from the surface, everything just looked plain, but the interior floor seemed to be the same color as the surface outside to the west, but the wall seemed to be a different color, which kind of made this was the same color as the rays and the central lift. But I said this in my recording, and it's already becoming fuzzy, but I made some correlations between there, and I talked about looking at the Grand Canyon, where you can see different layers and know that this is the same as that, even though they're not connected. I think the interior, the floor, and the wall maybe had different color or albedo. I don't remember which one I said in the recording.
I'll pile on with your question. We just brought up the LTP because I forgot that while I was doing this, because there were no shadows on this whatsoever, I think it was towards the end when it was just in full light and very little relief, I kept losing OHM itself. And I actually thought that there was a crater northeast of OHM that is at the center of those kind of starfish rays. There actually looks like there was a very simple and old crater there, and that is what I kind of actually went back and forth between that one and now what I see is true OHM, and I wish I would have referred back to my PCD at the time. But I think the lesson learned here is without any relief, it is very difficult to sometimes make out craters, especially here where the rays are actually offset from where the crater itself is. So you're drawn into a spot, and I am so surprised right now that there's not a little crater where those rays meet, because in my mind, there was, and that was OHM.
And that reminds me of something else I talked about earlier. When Reed and Jeremy were in the windows, I remember looking out, and I said something to you, I think that it doesn't look like really rays. I did see the continuous feature of that east-west line, that 3 o'clock ray all the way into the near side MARE. There's some interesting something going on there. But at first, it looked to me like just two different, like a contact of two different materials coming together or two different age materials coming together. And when we got on the far side view, where I was looking back at it, I mean, the later view, it still looked like, I don't know, it sometimes didn't look like a ray. It just looked like different color material. And really, the point of this is not to talk about the 3 o'clock ray and the 12 o'clock ray. It's to talk about the wedge. The wedge, to me, if you remember my recording comment about continents, I kind of had the near side MARE continent, the middle from OHM to Orient. Oriental and in the Hertzsprung continent. Those colors in the wedge look like, and not they are, they look the color of, but also the concrete kind of packedness of what's around Hertzsprung. Those look similar. So that's kind of also playing checks on my eyes between rays and just different material, not just a ray laying on top of the material.
Thanks a lot, Victor and Christina. Wow, we're really looking forward to continuing to dive into this when you guys are back with us on Earth. We want to sign off now to get you guys over to your next activities. Before I do that, I'll just say when you're making those annotations about the impact flashes, any annotations you want to provide about the structures in the corona you saw during the eclipse, we would take those annotations. And that's it for me. It was so wonderful to talk to you over the last 2 days. Thank you again, and can't wait to see you all back here on Earth. Thanks again for what you did for science.
You guys did an extraordinary job of preparing us. We really appreciate you. Can't wait to talk more about this. This was too short. For the sunset recording, if you're looking for that, it's on PCD3, and the file name is recording, open brackets, 13, close brackets.
Copy all. Integrity Science is over and out.
Integrity Houston, we're maneuvering to the lunar obs attitude, and we'll be ready to dial for the PFC as soon as we see you online.
We copy, and can you say window for science pictures? I'm just, we're a little PCD limited.
Checking. Christina, window 2.
Copy. We see it coming into view. You guys look gorgeous.
Why, thank you.
You can take you that moon gets small quick when you're leaving it. Wow. Moon and Earth are just about the same size. We saw the Earth for a minute. Now Christina's looking at the moon. Pretty awesome.
We copy. Thanks for the report.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston, we're maneuvering back to bias tail to sun. Also, we're preparing to clean up your onboard burn plans, and at DPC, we forgot to ask you for AGA numbers. Could you please give us those?
Okay, Sam. AJ just came on, as you heard. Give us 5 minutes. We'll give you a reading, and we copy the other remarks. All good?
Roger.
And Houston Integrity for Opportunistic Science Imaging Note.
We're listening.
Yeah, just wanted to mention that towards the end of that opportunity, I'm not sure if it was after the maneuver started or just before it started, but the sun was out the window that I was observing on, and I went to go look for the moon to take more pictures of it after kind of pulling my vision away to look at the lunar targeting package. And when I put the camera back out, I ended up pointing it directly at the sun for a second. So just a reminder that if something's going to change to where the sun is now in the view that people are looking out at the camera, just give us a heads up.
We will do that. Thanks for that information. On another topic, your new state vector is on board.
Awesome, thanks, and I'll be ready for my PSC in a couple minutes. Do I need to tell you all which PCD I'll be on?
And Christina, no, we don't need to know which PCD you're on. We'll just dial your account.
Happy, I'll be signing it shortly. Appreciate it. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Houston Integrity, confirm we are go for secondary purge line dump.
We are go for those dumps.
Can you remind me again, Stan, what we have to stand down from them today?
Checking. And Reed, we'd like you to stand down from CCU dumps between MET 3 hours and MET 5 hours 30 minutes, except for the scheduled dump on Victor's timeline at 3:10.
Hey, we copy, Stan. I'm in the process of setting up the recorded exercise. I would appreciate a call up with a 2-minute warning to stand down from exercise.
It's on our to-do list, Victor. Don't worry. Integrity Houston, Orbit One team is stepping off headset for a few minutes to take our team photo. We'll be back with you shortly.
Sure. Sounds great, Stan. Enjoy that and savor that moment. Please savor that moment. What an exceptional time.
Will do, sir.
Houston Integrity, are you ready for AGA readings?
Jeremy, we're ready to take those AGA readings.
And Houston, there's no rush. If you're still taking the photo, just going to give you AGA readings, whatever you want.
Jeremy, go ahead with those AGA readings.
27.8 for C or for O2, and CO is CO2 is 1.5.
Copy numbers. Do you have temperature and pressure?
N.4 for pressure and 77.3 for temperature.
Copy all. Thank you, sir.
Connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston for burn conference and targeting.
Go ahead, Stan.
Hey, Jeremy, our GNC maneuvers are conflicting with our preliminary targeting activity, so we may have to do prelim a little later, or we may skip it entirely and pick up at intermediate. We'll keep you posted on how it's going.
Okay, copy that. And then when, just cue me up on when the latest trajectory information is on board for targeting. Do we have the latest burn plan on board?
Jeremy, we do not have the latest on board yet. That's one of the things that we're trying to catch up with. So the burn conference scheduled before preliminary targeting is definitely canceled. Again, we'll call you when we have updates.
Understood, Sam. No problem. We're pretty flexible.
And Jeremy, we're expecting approximately 30 minutes to get the new burn plan on board.
Okay. Understood, Sam.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Thanks for tuning in to our coverage of NASA Artemis II mission. We are now standing by for the start of our daily press conference. If you're watching via our YouTube stream, you can continue watching here for the press conference, and we'll be back with live coverage shortly after.
Integrity Houston for Victor. This is your two-minute warning. Please stop exercise within 2 minutes for the OPNAV maneuver.
And we're tracking. You just completed. Thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome.
Or the PFC today, we'll just leave MS-1 logged into DC, and you can just call that one.
Copy, Jeremy.
Currently connected to CMM Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Houston Integrity on one for ARS.
Go ahead for ARS.
Hey, we really appreciate the lower fan speed. Is there any way we could just bump it up here for maybe the next hour as we're preparing for the burn conference and we've had some exercise going, and it would just be good to get a little more airflow moving?
We can do it, and it's in work.
Okay. Houston Integrity, we are ready anytime you are for the burn conference.
Integrity, we are ready. I'm looking at a burn pad and have deltas ready to read. Already, I'm looking at a burn pad and have deltas ready to read when you're ready to copy.
And we're pulling them out. In the meantime, could you please the ground generation date, I'll check that, and then I'll be ready to copy your deltas.
Ground generation date is GMT 907, 15 hours, 13 minutes, 00 seconds.
Good. Go ahead.
All right, deltas only, predicted EI is MET 009er, 01 hours, 18 minutes, 16 seconds.
Go ahead.
Down and to the left, line 17, the DAP load is 3 for burn maneuver.
Go ahead.
In the guidance solution section, the delta V tote now 1.4 feet per second. The TGO is unchanged at 15 seconds.
Good, go ahead.
Attitude, yaw 154. Pitch 26. Roll 287.
Copy, go ahead.
And the last bit's the delta V, X, minus 1.2, Y, 0.6, Z, minus 0.6.
Copy all. Thanks for that clear read-up. And we see that our next step is to run two-level targeter.
We concur, and we'll be watching. And just a reminder that we're not pressurizing the tanks before this burn, so we're going to do it in blow down.
Copy blow down, and understand we have a go to complete step 9 on board, even though the burn execution steps show it as a skip.
Checking. Oh, good catch, Christina. We missed that. That should not say skip. We do want you to do step 9 for intermediate targeting.
Copy all. We will do it and chat up with you after. Thank you.
Roger.
And Houston integrity with that. If you wouldn't mind just giving the rest of the burn execution steps a once-over, we think they all look nominal from here on out, but we'd feel better. Let us know if you see any other deltas. Thank you.
We will run an additional check and call if we find any other problems.
Perfect. Thanks.
And Integrity Houston for Christina, we have double-checked all of the steps in the pad for the execution, and we found no more mistakes.
You guys rock. Thanks.
And Christina, while we've got you, we have increased the fan speed, and we're wondering if you want us to keep it at this level for the next exercise session.
We feel it, and yes, please.
We will do that. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And Terry Houston for the timeline. Integrity Houston for the timeline. Integrity Houston, voice check, Orion Earth 1.
Maybe loud and clear, Stan.
We have you the same. Did you hear two earlier calls for a timeline about 3 minutes ago?
Negative. Go ahead, those calls again.
Okay. We had just tried to get your attention for some timeline things. It looks like there was some uplink going on elsewhere in the system. We're going to chase that down. For the timeline, can you please give us a status on the RHC install and the docking cam install?
Yeah, we're just processing the docking cam install right this moment. Probably be another 2 minutes before it's up. And we're assuming we need to do... disregard that. And then the RC, we knew it was in the procedure earlier. It's prepped, not quite up yet, but it's in position, so we're good with the RC.
If you're happy, we're happy, and copy the docking cam. Next, at the end of your midday meal, we've got a scheduled flight director crew conference. The vehicle looks great. We don't think we need that conference, and if you agree, we can cancel.
Crew's good up here. We can go ahead and cancel that.
All right. And finally, we saw your intermediate targeting complete successfully, and the solution looks good from here.
We concur, Stan. Appreciate it.
That's it for now. Enjoy your lunch.
We most certainly will enjoy this very rare lunch out in deep space. Okay, Houston, you can go ahead and check the docking tunnel and make sure you're seeing everything you expect of the camera.
Copy, we'll take a look.
And Houston Integrity, one update. Since the docking camera is now installed, I'm running the acoustic monitor off of battery until bedtime.
Copy, acoustic monitor on batteries, and we have checked and are getting good data from the docking camera. Thanks for that work.
Okay, appreciate that.
Integrity Houston for smoke detector.
I'm looking at it right now, and it looks good, Stan. What's up?
It is showing us a bunch of noise and spikes. We're wondering if something is bumping against it.
We were just setting up for a photo in the cabin. one I do not think we have hit it, so that would be abnormal. Christina's checking it. There is one charging cable near it that she's re-anchoring now, but nothing is really in the way of that thing.
I copy, Rita. Actually, that's a helpful report. We might have been getting some interference with that cable. We'll keep an eye on it. And Integrity, we are no longer seeing that noise on the smoke detector, so we're suspecting interference from that cable.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
Connected to CMN Network.
Integrity Houston, two items. Number one for 12.2.2509, orbit burn execution, plus X flange heaters are on, and prop avionics are configured.
Okay, we copy, Sam.
And unfortunately, we have seen the spikes return in the signal from the smoke detector. Can you check that the cable is still not near it, and also tell us what cable it was? If that was EMI off of that cable, we definitely need to document this.
Stan, thanks for keeping an eye on that. Nothing is near the smoke detector right now. The only cable that was an unconnected HDMI cable that goes from cameras, you know, to the encoder. We are near it right now, like a couple of heads are near it, but other than that, we are not seeing anything that would cause spikes of any kind.
All right, copy. Thanks for that information. We're still scratching our heads down here. Go ahead for Photo TV.
Okay, Stan, on PCD 2, we through.
Yeah, okay, which is FGS.
TV subfolder. If Photo TV could take a look and hopefully give us a thumbs up, and if not, give us feedback, that would be appreciated.
We will get those down and take a look and get back to you.
November 8, Whiskey Charlie Bravo. November 8, Whiskey Charlie Bravo. This is KF8 FGS.
Yeah, Houston, 2 minutes to Starfield maneuvers, and we have a couple of other words for you.
Starfield, Stan, go ahead, your words.
All right, late call SM prop helium isovalve configured. The aux branch 1 will remain closed. There is no change to the burn plan or to the pad. However, right after the burn, we're going to change the active burn plan to the plan in slot 4, which is nominal PLS RTC last.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Makes sense. We're expecting that, Sam. Sounds great. And Stan, while we have you, there's a new photo in PAO for downlink on PCD 2.
Copy. We'll go look for the photo on PCD 2.
Houston Integrity, are we okay for secondary purge 1?
Checking. And Integrity, we are go for secondary line.
Great, thank you.
Integrity, Starfield maneuvers complete.
Thank you.
And integrity, we see good targeting. Go to burn the onboard. Also, MCC has pulled go for RTC1. And a reminder, there's a 1 hour forward link LOS right about the time of the burn, so we can watch but not call or command during that period. And correction, we're still assessing go for the burn.
Okay, that sounds good, Sam. Then we'll plan on just closing out 12.2.2509 as per the burn plan, and we'll talk to you on the other side of that burn then, or after that loss of return or loss of forward.
Roger. Stand by for final go. And integrity, MCC is go for the burn.
Okay, the copy is still go, and we're go up here.
And integrity, looking ahead to the forward link LOS. The ARS is configured for exercise, so Christina can begin during the LOS.
We understand that, and she will follow the procedure and say facades before she starts.
Thank you. Great words. Integrity, tank pressures are good for the burn.
Integrity copies.
Currently connected to CMN network.
Integrity, saws in position for the burn, all brakes set.
We show the same step.
Integrity, auto-coupler glitch.
Caution and warnings.
Auto-coupler glitch, you're still go for the burn, no action.
Okay, Sam, and are you guys going to run that procedure from the ground, or we're just not going to bother?
Checking. Jeremy, we're making a plan for recovery complicated by the upcoming forward LOS.
Understood, and we'll be standing by to help you out if you want to send anything to us.
Jeremy, thanks for that offer. Once we figure out what, we will let you know.
Okay, copy. We're standing by.
Integrity, this is not an optocoupler glitch. It's something internal to the prop system. Still evaluating.
Understood, Stan.
Integrity, 30 seconds to maneuver.
Okay, Integrity copies.
Integrity, in attitude for the burn, we may be about 7 degrees different from what was calculated ahead of time, but that's within our tolerance.
Okay. Copy. And Houston, Integrity, we just want to report what we're seeing here to make sure you're seeing the same thing. So, aux helium isolation valve 1 was closed and inhibited prior to the caution and warning. And then it seemed that when aux helium isolation 2 closed and fuel helium isolation valve 1 closed and were inhibited, that is when the caution and warning started.
All correct. Thank you. And Integrity, we had a branch swap. We thought we had inhibited the fitter. Evidently not. We're still evaluating.
Integrity copies.
Integrity Houston for prop After the burn, we'd like the valve reconfigured per the procedure, and recall that's been edited so that you won't touch the branch one aux. We will have two PRUs to recover later. We'll do that after the forward link LS.
Okay, understood. So we will execute the procedure as written with the delta about the aux helium isolation valve one.
Good words, and the procedure guides you that way.
Thank you, Sam.
Integrity, preliminary look is a good burn. Still assessing, 40 seconds to LOS.
Hey, Sam, we saw a good burn on board as well.
Roger.
Connected to CMN network.
Ethan Integrity RHC Stowe is complete, and we're proceeding through the prop valve reconfiguration with your comments in mind. Ethan Integrity, we're just calling in the blind to keep you synced up with us. We have 2 points we'd like to make. We'll give you a second.
You're connected to CMN network.
12.2.2509, when we got to the prop reconfiguration, as you are seeing, our aux helium isolation valve 2 and our fuel helium isolation valve 1 are inhibited, and so we left those closed, and of course, aux helium isolation valve 1 is also closed. And we're going to leave them in that config until we get two-way combat with you, and I've got one more item with you. All right, the second item is we've talked it over as a crew, and based on the recommendations and the daily summary, if we did end up in an off-nominal situation where we absolutely needed prop, we would go ahead and open aux helium isolation valve 1. That's all we got for you. We'll talk to you when you have both forward and return.
And Terry Houston, voice check on Madrid after the LS.
We
got you loud and clear. During the Ford LS, we copied your call for the RHC stow. Jeremy, we copied your call about the prop valves in 12.2.2509 and your plan that if you needed prop, you would open not ceiling lights valve 1, and we were good with both of those conclusions. And we have more software words when you're ready.
Okay, Stan, we're ready for those words. Good.
All right, for the prop cautions, it's still an evolving story. We had a fitter function that should have been inhibited. Even left enabled, we did not see its trigger conditions being met, yet it executed. So we are running tests starting now to understand this better. That fitter swapped branches and turned off two PRUs, and we're putting the recovery steps for that system in work, again, starting now. Current thinking is that we'll disable that fitter for future burns.
Connected to CMN network.
Okay, that is understood, Sam.
Also, we saw unexpected software commanding to the Holmes engine burn. Flight software checks which burn type you are doing before the burn. And when the software does its engine check, if the OME actuators are on, it assumes you're doing an Ohms burn and will command a post-burn gimbal check. So today the actuators were on for the motion checks we were doing earlier in the day. So despite doing an Ohms burn, we got...
interest in that, but an interesting item to know about. Thanks for that.
Well, we take it seriously when the software doesn't do when we expect. That's all we got for you. It's good to have you back.
Good to have you back.
And then what configuration do you plan to put the valves in at this point?
Jeremy, we're going to run procedure 30.50.2000.30.00 from the ground. We'll put ourselves into the rig that we're involved in that procedure if you like. Out from an attitude maneuver and wondering what the exercise plan is.
We were a bit late getting to that exercise. The intention was to still do it. Can we do exercise through the CCU dump? Any restrictions on that? And while you're checking that, Stan, if you guys could just safely raise for us from the ground, we'd appreciate it.
So, Jeremy, we can't exercise during attitude maneuvers, and we have an attitude maneuver at the beginning and at the end of the CCU activity that's coming up here. So, shift exercise on the side of the CCU dump.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. is before the CCU dump, if you're okay with that, and then cease it prior to the universe, if that works for you.
Dance and duty attitude maneuver. Basically, you only have 10 minutes before the you have to stop.
So it's easy to stop it in the middle and pick it up after the dump. Okay, I understand your direction is to defer exercise till after the CCU dump.
Yes, thank you.
Integrity Houston, 2 minutes to the maneuver to the CCU dump attitude. And Ike, while I've got you, we have two requests for you on this activity.
Hey, I'm ready to copy.
All right, if you would please just let us know when you start and stop the vent, and how many CCUs you dump, if more than one.
Okay, I will let you know I plan to dump 2 CCUs, and I will let you know when I start and when I stop. And just confirm through the maneuver, though, we are still go for CCU dumps until then.
And Victor, if you would please pause on any dumping until we get to the timelined activity.
Okay, we copy. We have paused secondary line dumping.
Thank you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Integrity, we have dropped a BC call. Can you please redial?
And work.
Thank you, Ken. We're about 60 seconds from the first CCU dump.
Copy.
Okay, Houston. Turning the knob, the valve in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Houston copies, vent started.
Okay, I stopped the dump. We don't like to let Houston the CCU collapse. I'm going to vent it, let it open back up, and then start the dump again in 10 seconds.
We copy, Victor.
Vent is open. Houston Integrity starting the second CCU dump in 5, 4. Valve closed, venting, and dumping the rest of the second CCU in 10.
We copy.
Houston Integrity. That is the fill. The CCU dump's complete. I can actually provide another one for you in about 2 minutes if you want, and actually I would love to do that if that's an option.
And Victor, we'll be happy to take you up on that. For your awareness, the maneuver out of this attitude kicks off at 3:20. And to be perfectly clear, that's when we would want the dump to be complete.
Thanks for copy.
Integrity Houston for awareness. We are one command away from clearing the prop cautions that are on the board. And if you want to follow along, you can look on the prop SMPRU display.
All right, Houston, we're starting it up in 3 seconds.
Copy.
I'm off the vent, starting in 5. Okay, Houston, CC dump complete.
Copy. Perfect timing. Integrity Houston for awareness. Once we complete this maneuver, we will park the saws and we will let you know, but we are prioritizing getting into configuration to allow you to begin exercise expediently.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Thank you so much, Tess.
Integrity Houston, the saws are parked. You are go for exercise.
Copy. Thanks. Starting now.
Houston Integrity, low priority question in the four prop system when you have a minute.
We have as many minutes as you need.
That should be quick. We see that the prop system is reconfigured after RTC1. The only thing that we wanted to clarify from our crew displays is that it looks to us like Oxhelium ISOL 1 is both closed and inhibited. We expected it to be closed, but not inhibited.
Checking. And Reed, you are just one step ahead of us. We had inhibited it as part of the recovery process, but we are about to re-enable it as our last step.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. And while I got you, I just wanted to give you a heads up. We've got slot 4 active on board for RTC last.
All right, high fives all around. That's a big accomplishment for the team and for the mission. Thank you.
Integrity Houston, for any available regarding additional annotations on science impact flashes.
Connected to CMN Network.
Go ahead, Houston.
Hey, we understand that you guys have some additional annotations that you made in OneNote regarding impact flashes, and the easiest way, we think, to get that to us is if you would take a screenshot of those additional annotations and place that in imagery for downlink, which will save us having to re-downlink the OneNote file.
Okay, I'll do that right now. It'll be on PCD3, and it is a work of art.
Copy, Jeremy. We look forward to taking a look.
Houston Integrity, confirm. We are go for secondary wastewater dump.
Checking. And Integrity Houston for the CCU dumps. We are still analyzing imagery related to the timeline dump. We would like you to hold off on any additional dumping until the end of our analysis activity, which is in approximately 90 minutes, and we'll give you a call when that's complete.
Okay, we copy holding off on dumping, and you confirm 1-9 or 9-0 minutes.
That is 9-0 minutes. Of course, you can let us know if that's an issue for you guys.
Integrity, just for your planning purposes and so you're tracking what I'm doing here. I was scheduled for aerobic today. I'm going to go ahead and film resistive exercise just because of our Titan timeline. Resistive goes a little faster, and I prefer resistive, more resistive anyway. But let me know if anyone has any major heartache with that, and I'll switch back to aerobic.
Copy. Checking. Integrity Houston, back with you on the exercise question. So there are a couple of factors here for you, Jeremy. One, since this is a recorded session, we're looking to get one of aerobic and one of resistive. And because of other activities tomorrow, we think that the resistive fits better tomorrow from a spatial constraints perspective, which is why we had aerobic today. So we're leaning towards recommending that you stick with aerobic today, but additional context is that we do have some wiggle room to extend the time frame where you guys can be exercising today if needed.
Okay, Houston, I can do aerobic today.
Thanks, Jeremy. Integrity Houston for SA regarding a ground activity.
Go ahead, Houston.
Hey, Reed, just wanted to let you know the ground is about to take a team photo at 4:25 your time. So I will be stepping away from the desk, but I will have my device on speaker. So if you call, it'll just take me an extra minute to pop over here and respond.
Okay, no problem. And we see that the prompt system is in the configuration we expected. Thank you.
Fantastic. That is true. Integrity Houston for secondary dumping.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Go ahead, Tess.
To read some good news, we have determined that we are okay if you have additional CCUs that you want to dump. We would just appreciate it if you would let us know anytime you're initiating a dump until MET of 5:36. We are still collecting imagery associated with that first dump, and it'll just help us to know when additional dumps happen.
Okay, sounds good. We're going to have a dump in about 1 minute here, plus or minus a few minutes. Well, not minus a few, but maybe plus a few. And I thought you were taking a picture, Tess.
We are about to. We're waiting for one very important flight director to arrive.
Okay, great. As we told the Orbit 2 team, really savor these moments as you got the whole group together to take a picture. And just we're really proud of everyone, and we're having a good time up here. Thank you.
I had you on speaker for that, and we really appreciate your words. The whole team heard you, and we are all really proud to be here with you.
Excellent. And Victor just had a great comment. If you guys get a couple of these early drafts of these pictures of y'all, put them in the mission summary. We'd love to see your faces.
We can absolutely do that.
Just an integrity for exercise.
Go ahead.
Jeremy just completed his aerobic. Please let me know when the vehicle dynamics support me getting on for resistance.
And Reed, we just went around the room. We are all good. You can begin exercise now if you'd like.
Okay, we will. It is pretty interesting up here. I'm sure you see in the data, but we can definitely feel the vehicle moving around when folks are exercising. It's pretty cool to just sit there and float and feel the vehicle kind of. It's not like a ship rocking in the ocean, but you definitely feel it wiggling around.
We also see it in the SAW video as well as our data, but good to hear your report on it as well.
Hey, one last question. This is for a little later tonight, but we kind of want to do a couple deep sky long exposure photographs. If the SAWs are in the windows and it's possible to get the lights turned off on the SAW cameras in about an hour, we might appreciate that, but clearly not if it interrupts any sort of ops down there.
Agreed. We think that will be doable. We will double check, and we'll let you know when you're done exercising.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Connected to CMN Network.